Today is Saturday, July 14th, 2018, and this...
Las Vegas, Nevada. This place is so ridiculous, so over the top. In fact, we're going to meet a guy who's larger than life with a car that's larger than life.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 654.
Las Vegas, Nevada! I'm just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're going to give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you think that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're going to be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby! Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you doing this evening?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good.
I like tequila.
Oh, well, there's a noteworthy item. I'll add that to your dossier.
Okay. What do you like?
I like many things. I like Las Vegas. I like gambling. Are you talking alcohol specific?
Anything.
Tonight I'm enjoying some spiced rum, as I do from time to time.
Admiral Nelson?
Uh-huh. Nothing but the finest generic spice rum for me. All right. We've got a bunch of news this week. Lots of things to talk about, unlike last week when we had barely any news. So I'm looking forward to discussing some things with you.
Okay.
But before that, this podcast is listener supported by amazing people who are part of our Patreon thing. They include Luke Malloy, Benny Last Call, Ryan Gregory, Brian Dancer, Jonathan Tweedle, and Mark Mormon.
Thank you, people.
Thank you to all of these Patreon patrons. If you'd like to support the show on a monthly basis, once in a while we throw some bonus content at you as our way of saying thank you. Oh, God, I knew I was going to sneeze. You can visit patreon.com. I'm so professional. You can visit patreon.com/500 for details.
Was our chat last week?
I think it was 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. Okay. I lose track of time.
It's all blurry. Mm-hmm. It's fun when we do those, though.
It is.
Yes, thank you to all of our Patreon supporters. We do appreciate it. All right, so before we jump into news, I want to pimp something this week.
Do you?
In our recurring pimpage section.
All right.
Our friend Hunter, you know Hunter?
I do know Hunter.
All right, so he has an app for the iPhone and iPad. It's called Vegas Mate.
It is really great.
It is really great. We've discussed it many times in the show, but we haven't talked about it lately, and I wanted to do that because there's a new updated version of Vegas Mate, and he's constantly innovating and updating and making it better. So if you have an iPhone and you like Las Vegas, you should download Vegas Mate. It will help with your planning and your organizing, and when you're in Las Vegas, it's really good for figuring out where to go and what to do.
Mm-hmm. And there's a new feature that helps you keep track of what you do.
Yes, you can.
Sometimes you get back and you think, what did I do in Vegas?
You can turn on an option which will help you track your activities, which is cool. So congratulations to Hunter on another great
new version.
It's
like tracking your steps, except way more fun.
If the boys in The Hangover had this, then the movie would have been a lot more boring. But, you know, for those of us who live in the real world, it's nice to have such functionality. So there you go. Check it out, Vegas Mate. It is available on the App Store. And it is for iPhone. And if you don't have an iPhone, you're like, what about me? Sorry, not available for everybody, just for the iPhone. You can send your hate mail to Hunter Hilligus.
He has not
had any sort of suggestions to make it available for any other platforms.
No,
never heard anything
he's
like that.
Never heard from.
Doesn't get old at all.
Anything that rhymes with Schmandroid at all.
All right, lots of news this week. Let's start at the north end of the Strip. There's a property there called SLS. You may have forgotten that it exists.
Yep.
It does. Just 2 years ago at SLS.
It's still there, though.
It is still there.
Unlike Lucky Dragon.
Lucky Dragon is still there.
It's still there, but it doesn't have a casino.
Correct. Well, it has a casino. It's just not open and functional.
Right. SLS has a casino. It's kind of open and functional.
It's open and functional. SLS struck a deal about 2 years ago with Starwood Hotels to turn one of its towers into a W hotel. We discussed that here on the show. You may remember that. We haven't discussed it since until now. And the news this week is that the W Hotel is out at SLS on July 20th. They are, as part of the transition to the new ownership at SLS, the W Hotel partnership is ending already, according to Gaming Today. However, SLS is remaining as part of the Starwood program. So if you're an avid collector of SPG points and you like to stay at properties that are under that umbrella, you can still do so at SLS, which is a good thing. There are a bunch of media reports this week about SLS and one other tidbit in addition to this W Hotel news, which didn't really get a lot of play. The item that did get quite a bit of attention is the name. We've been speculating for a long time since the new owners took over several months ago about what would become of the SLS name. What would it be?
And Red.
The rumor, well, the rumor for a long time, you might remember on this show, one of our listeners was the first that we heard it from, that they were going to call it the Grand Sahara Resort, which ties in nicely with the owner's other property, the Grand Sierra Resort, and also a throwback to the original name of that property, which was Sahara. Mm-hmm. So it makes some sense. The owner has not, up to till this point, said anything about that, but they have begun using Grand Sahara Resort on paperwork filed with Clark County. So it would appear that that's happening. Now, when asked about this, by, I think the Review Journal, I think a reporter there asked about it, and they said, well, it's a working name, but we haven't finalized what we're going to call it. Well, this isn't a new property. Well, yeah, exactly. You don't need a working name when the property already has a name. It's called SLS, so why wouldn't you just use that as
the working name and then transition to Grand Sahara?
Right. You don't need a, if you're opening a new property, then sometimes you have a working name because you're like, not like Wynn was Larev. That was the working name. That was the plan for a while. And they went, we're not going to call it that. But here
we're going to call it Steve.
We have a situation where it already has a name. So for paperwork, you could just use SLS. It's not like I need to come up with something to put on the name line. Mm-hmm. Well, no, you don't. So it's very obvious it is going to be called Grand Sahara. It's just a matter of time before they make it official and try to make a big splash with the new name.
How do you feel about the name?
I'm fine with it.
Yeah. As much as I think, do we need another something with grand in it?
We don't.
It fits in with their other properties.
Yes.
And I like the Sahara part.
Yes. I think the name will resonate with people.
Much more than SLS.
Much more than SLS. And because of the Sahara throwback and... yeah, the fact that it ties into their other property is good synergy for the company.
Oh, Christ.
We can be done with grand names, though. So
We can be done with synergy, too.
Let's be done with both.
Can we be done with LinkedIn also?
I would be fine with that as well. I was going to say I've been done with LinkedIn for a long time, but that's not true. I am forced to use it for some work purposes, which is aggravating. I just read an article about how, like, high-powered, high-paid athletes have been migrating to LinkedIn for their other business activities.
Huh.
Like to make connections and stuff. Like, guys, you don't need that.
No, you have name recognition already.
Yeah,
you probably have a Twitter account or an Instagram account or something else.
You have better options. LinkedIn is the worst thing ever created. Okay, back to the topic at hand, which is Las Vegas. Several weeks, probably a couple months ago, we mentioned that Wayne Newton's estate, Casa de Shenandoah, had closed down for renovations. And at that time, we speculated that things might not be looking the best, because typically when you close down for renovations of something like that, you'll say, and we're reopening in 3 weeks or 3 months or whenever it is. And they did not have any specific date. And as it turns out, we were correct. It is not reopening as a tourist attraction. It is closed. So not a big surprise. Multiple media outlets in Vegas announced this week that Clark County had been notified that they no longer were going to be functioning as a museum, no longer needed the permits to do so, and it was going to revert to a private residence.
So Wayne's going to be hanging out there again?
Well, he hasn't lived there for a long time.
Yeah.
But someone will likely be living there because he doesn't own it anymore. He might, I don't know. There was some story about how his current residence got broken into recently.
Ooh.
So maybe he decided he wants to live there again and worked out some deal to lease it back. I have no idea. It's all speculation. But
it was a cool property. I enjoyed our tour. I'm so glad we went when we did.
Really glad we got to go. It was a fun tour, and it was really neat to see. And there was a lot going on. It wasn't just, you know, the garish residence of a Las Vegas Icon. It was, there's all this other stuff. You got to learn about horses, and you got to see all
And you got some good stories about the house too.
Yes, and exotic animals. And there's cool stuff there. I'm bummed out that it's not going to be open to more people to see.
Yep.
So yeah, that was a, I'm glad we got on that relatively early. So farewell, Casa de Shenandoah, as a tourist attraction. It was a fun time while it lasted. There have been a bunch of stories in the past year or two about automation at Las Vegas properties. We've talked about things like Rose at Cosmo, which is their virtual concierge. I had a brief affair with her, as you may recall.
Oh, I recall.
It took place on this very show. I know. It's very awkward for everyone involved.
Yeah, it was.
Haven't chatted with Rose in a long time. We're done.
Okay.
Until next time we stay at Cosmo, and then we'll see.
Okay.
There's been some robots as well at Mandarin Oriental. There was a robot that was greeting people in the lobby. And now there are robots at Vidara as well. And these are a little bit more functional than the Mandarin Oriental robot, which could...
Well, there is a robot bar at Planet Hollywood.
Well, that's right. There is a robot bar. And it's super slow. If you watch it pour drinks, I would... just not bother.
You would not enjoy that. No. You have issues with things taking time when you want food and or beverage.
I can just see those fucking robots making dessert for everybody too. Spend an extra 6 hours on that. No, at Vidara, they are functional robots that carry out a very specific purpose, and that is to deliver room service items to guests, which is kind of neat. So if their names are Fetch and Jet, and they will deliver snacks, sundries, spa products, and food and beverage items to guest rooms. One of the nice things is, once they arrive at your room, because they don't have arms, the way that they let you know that they are there is they call your phone and say, we are
here. Your room phone or your cell phone?
Your room phone. We are outside. Please open the door. I doubt that's what they sound like, but in my mind, they're robots. That's what they should sound like.
Yes.
So is this cool or creepy? That is the question I pose to you.
This, I think it's fine. I don't think it's creepy.
Okay.
We used, I feel like it's an extension of the mail cart that used to wander around one of our offices. It would
deliver that's fine the mail for the people who happen to work there that are listening. Oh, I'm just kidding. I don't. So you had a robotic mail cart?
Yeah. Not robotic, but it was automatic. Like it would go around the floor,
that's
and then it would stop at certain intervals, and you'd get your mail and then send it on its merry way.
Did it vacuum as it went?
It did not.
Because if you're going to have that functionality, why would you not just put a vacuum on it too?
The noise factor.
Oh yeah, I don't know. Are Roombas loud? I think those Roombas are pretty quiet.
Those rooms are very quiet. I was talking about the mail cart at work, though.
No, the Roomba. I know, but if
the Roomba.
Why not just put a Roomba on there?
Yeah. Well, now you're talking about eliminating some housekeeping duties and also threatening their jobs. Thanks a lot.
I know, but that's, you know, unfortunately, a lot of jobs of this nature are no longer needed, which that's not me saying it's right or wrong, but.
I still think there's value in having somebody to deliver stuff.
Yeah, they work so somebody loads these things up and sends them on their way.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, there are people involved, obviously. If you order room service and this brings it to you and something is not included, there's still a person at the beginning that fucked up your order. So there, you can be happy about that.
That's great.
There's still somebody there to screw up the experience for you.
Well, I was just mentally comparing it to the check-in kiosks which sometimes it's helpful to have a person to ask.
People seem to hate those. The reaction from people using those, both from our phone calls lately.
You can't do the $20 trick at a check-in kiosk.
No, you can't. And the experiences have not been very good from our listeners who have tried those and inevitably been told, oh,
and
something's
Max
wrong.
And Max burped his disapproval too.
Way to go, Max. Way to chime in. So you are okay. You would err more on the side of cool than creepy?
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I don't feel like it's creepy.
Okay.
You?
No, I don't think they are. I think the one in the thing in the Mandarin Oriental lobby where they're trying to make it more like a human.
That's a little weird.
That's creepier than these things, which are just these like
they're just delivering
boxy
shit.
Things that deliver shit.
Yeah.
Like so I guess
mail
I'd be okay with
in
this.
My previous office.
Especially if it's more
that
efficient.
That was in the 90s, by the way. They were ahead of their time.
They really were. Would you like to give that company a plug?
No.
Okay.
They no longer have the name that that I fondly remember.
Okay, well, so there you go. We will give this. I'll
rest
agree with you.
Rest in peace, Lutheran Brotherhood.
I think this is. I think it's okay.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk technology. Or let's talk. Well, it is technology, but let's talk transportation for a minute.
Okay.
And when I say for a minute, I mean for an actual roughly minute, not an undetermined period of time, and using for a minute as a stand-in for the actual amount of time, because I'm on record now saying how I'm not a fan of that thing.
Oh, we're all aware.
Okay.
Well, not all of us.
Just the
some
people
of
who
us.
Were on people who were in the chat yeah. last week. All right, the monorail.
It's been a minute since we talked about the monorail.
That is the use of in a minute that I'm not a fan of.
I know.
The monorail. There have been plans to extend the monorail,
and which only encourages me to use it more.
I know. And it's not the extension everybody wants, which would be to the airport or to downtown or both. It is, however, a reasonable, in my mind, extension of the monorail that has been planned, and that would be from its current endpoint at MGM Grand to Mandalay Bay. And the purpose of this is, well, there are a couple reasons. One, Mandalay Bay has a significant convention center presence, and they want to get that on the monorail line so people who are not staying at Mandalay Bay can take advantage of the monorail for transportation to their properties. Makes sense, since you have the Las Vegas Convention Center also attached. Does this thing stop at Venetian? I don't think it does.
No, it says it does, but it doesn't really. Okay. It's one of those things where, yeah, it stops at Venetian.
It's like
but
6 miles from Venetian?
Exactly. Like there's a Caesar's Palace stop.
Yeah, which is like a 4 mile hike. You need Sherpas to get you to Caesar's Palace. Mm-hmm. All right. So anyway, they're trying to connect the majority of convention space. I think there have been discussions to get Las Vegas Sands Convention Center on board, but that hasn't happened yet. But the extension was also to be used in conjunction with the opening of the new football stadium, which is across the freeway from Mandalay Bay. Mm-hmm. So they're going to need to transport a lot of people before and after those games.
Yes, they are.
And the monorail would certainly not be the only solution to that problem, but it would help disperse some traffic. However, according to the Review Journal now, opening by that September 2020 opening of the new Raiders Stadium is unlikely. The county has said that the company that operates the monorail has not yet obtained the $110 million in bonds it needs to fund the extension.
Uh-oh.
So no idea how long it's going to take for them to get funding, but they're having a difficult time doing so. Now, I know whenever the monorail comes up, there's usually grumbling like, this is the biggest waste of taxpayer dollars. It's not it's a private thing. It's not mostly not taxpayer funded. They did have to take a loan from the county in order to fund some of these studies and stuff to see if it was viable to extend the monorail and to do some of the preliminary work, but they do owe that money back and will have to pay it back to Clark County. But it's not a big taxpayer thing. So there are lots of things about the monorail to complain about. It being a tax boondoggle is not one of them. So I was thinking about this. So in addition to the monorail being relatively, I won't say useless because that would be overstating it, mm-hmm. more so than I want to overstate it, but a disappointment when it comes to useful transportation,
sure.
because largely it's in a bad location,
yep.
hidden behind hotels, and you mm-hmm. never see it. And
it takes you forever to get to the station.
It's inconvenient and, yeah. for many uses. But in addition to that, for the size of a city and a tourist zone that Las Vegas has, they've got a lot of transportation issues. And I should say, despite there being transportation issues, it's fairly easy to get around in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. But it seems like they need to get things figured out pretty quick, because between the freeway issues, which I know they're adding onto the freeway,
right.
so they're working on that.
But until they're done with that, that's going to be a cluster.
Yeah. But they also, like, T-Mobile was built with very little thought for additional parking. They were going to put up an initial ramp. Did that ever happen?
No.
Like down by Excalibur or somewhere?
I don't think so.
There are certainly.
We would have reported it on the show.
Well, with all the parking,
us reporting it.
We've had so many parking related things. I don't remember if we discussed that. I think that was one of the parts of MGM throwing the fee in there. Well, it'll help fund the new parking ramp that we might mm-hmm. or might not build. I don't know. It just seems like they need to figure out an overall transportation plan for the Las Vegas Strip area in order to ensure that people can continue to get around relatively easy. Right now, like I said, you know, it's pretty easy to hop in a cab or an Uber or whatever and get somewhere. But I feel like things should run more efficiently. Yeah. Like, well, first of all, the monorail should be more useful.
Yes.
And it only is if you're staying in certain places like Westgate or if you don't mind walking long. Like, I don't know. The monorail, eh. I don't know what I'm trying to say. You're looking at me like, what the fuck are you getting at?
I don't know what you're trying to say. Yeah, that is
I feel like there are major transportation issues that have not yet been addressed in Las Vegas.
And that they will probably get worse before they get addressed.
With things like the football stadium being built. Mm-hmm. And now I know that the convention center expansion is supposed to have some sort of a big transportation hub. So maybe that will help. Hmm. Where that's going to be used to get people to and from efficiently.
The expansion up by Riviera, Riviera was?
Yeah. Yes. But as you build more stuff, you need to account for the traffic that's going to bring in. They didn't do that with T-Mobile. With the football stadium, we'll see. Mm-hmm. Now, the football stadium...
It's a little more isolated.
It is a little more isolated, and the number of events will be a lot more limited than at T-Mobile. So we'll see. But I'd like to see some more transportation... stuff being read. And I'm sure locals would more than anybody because for them to get to and from the strip can be a bigger pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Although if you ask them, they'll all say, we never go there anyway. So, and then they complain about having to pay for parking there. All right. Send your hate mail to Hunter Hilligus at ratevegas.com. All right. So, last week we discussed a new show that was rumored to be announced, in the days following said last podcast, and indeed it was, and that's the Nitro Circus show at Bally's. So as part of Travis Pastrami, I almost said Pastrami.
I know.
I wanted to say Pastrami.
When I was watching that, I kept thinking they were going to say Pastrami. And
Travis Pastrana is the stuntman who
recreated
three of Evel Knievel's stunts last week on the History Channel. I'll talk about that in a second here too. But anyway, as part of that, there was an official announcement of the Nitro Circus show that will indeed be at Bally's. If you did not have a chance to see the Evel live event, or if you DVR'd it and have not yet watched it,
you're going to be forwarding through a lot of it, first of all.
We DVR'd it and watched the whole thing in about 8.5 minutes, which is wonderful because they dragged that fucker out like you wouldn't believe. They're giving weather reports.
Was it like 2 hours, three hours?
It was three and it went over.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it went over the three-hour allotment. It was way long. And look,
he's riding a bike. I'll pause now.
Here's the thing. So it was too long. And there was no suspense because it was obvious any sort of, I don't want to say any sort of danger was taken out of it, but it was pretty clear that they had these things
timed and rehearsed.
Yeah, he wasn't going to fuck them up. I mean, you could tell from the landings, he landed like way far in on the ramp, so it wasn't like he was cutting it close or obviously anything like this is somewhat of a risk, but there was no suspense.
On the last jump, I was like, okay. I was a little nervous.
Really?
Because
of the buildup?
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe the three-hour lead-up actually paid off.
Yeah.
Or in our case, 7.5 minutes.
I was sweating during that 7.5 minutes.
Yeah. So despite the fact there was no suspense, and you pretty much knew this is all just going to come off great, I loved the spectacle of it.
Yeah.
And him riding down the street and high-fiving people. Mm-hmm. And like Vegas was getting all this attention. And it left me wanting more of that.
Yeah.
Fucking shoot somebody out of a cannon across the strip. Do crazy shit like this. It's fun. And so I enjoyed
somebody
seeing
somebody not meeting you.
Oh, I don't want to be shot out of a cannon, but there's some asshole who will do it. I don't know. Anyway,
someone who gets professionally shot out of cannons, who has a lot of experience.
Somebody from Nitro Circus. They can do it to promote this show.
Yeah.
Let's get back to that. Las Vegas Sun reports that the Jubilee Theater at Bally's will be renamed. I'm curious as if this is going to be met with outrage, that the Jubilee Theater will be no more. It will become the Nitro Circus Theater.
There's no Jubilee there, so...
What's the point?
Yeah.
Yeah, theaters in Las Vegas change names fairly frequently based on who's performing there, and they try to make a big deal out of it. Like, hey, we're naming the theater at the Link the Matt Franco Theater. It's like, well, who gives a fuck? In 3 years...
It's going to be called something else.
Well, let's give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
In 10 years, you know, it's going to be the whoever else won on American America's Got Talent theater. They change these things a lot.
So. I would love it if they literally called it whoever else won on America's Got Talent Theater.
The guy who came in third on season 8 of American Idol Theater.
The G, Your Hair Smells Terrific Arena.
That would be fantastic. So I know that there. I just suspect there's going to be a little bit of outrage. Oh, they're getting rid of a piece of history. Well, you know what? When the not even when the show closed, but when they revamped the show and took the cheesy showgirl nature out of the show, which eventually led to it failing and closing, that was the time for outrage, if you're going to be outraged. Now that it's been closed for several years, they're changing the theater name.
Yeah.
Eh, that's fine. That's just how it's going to be. They're remodeling the theater, too, to make it work well for this show. It's supposed to open in the spring of 2019 with tickets available in October. So, according to the Review Journal, the show will feature motorcycle and BMX daredevil high-flying jumps and loops on ramps. I kind of want to see this.
Okay.
I'm. You know, we've had shows fairly recently that have been... They're supposed to have an air of danger to them, like Inferno at Paris. And there are things that are kind of stunt-related. But I think this one would be kind of badass.
Okay.
I want to see people flipping around on bikes and shit.
I'd go.
All right. We're going to go to this when it opens.
All right. We'll say that now.
Not the day it opens, but sometime we're going to, especially if we get a decent total rewards offer and the tickets are free. I got a Mariah Carey offer last week, but it doesn't coincide with anything we currently have planned.
I would take advantage of that.
Yes.
Seeing Mariah for free, yes.
Yes,
yes, I would do that.
Front row for that train wreck. So anyway, there is not yet a name for the Nitro Circus show, but it is indeed coming to Bally's in 2019. I bet
Nitro Circus will be in the name, though.
I suspect it will be Nitro Circus Presents Las Vegas Thrills, some shit like that.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know what it'll be called, but I think it'll be Nitro Circus Presents.
Knee Deep in the Hoopla?
No, that will not be it.
Good.
Speaking of Las Vegas shows, the Backstreet Boys have announced the final shows of their Las Vegas residency at Planet Hollywood. They've announced 18 new shows in February and April of 2019, in addition to previously announced dates in July, August, September, and October of this year. The final dates are now on sale. This has been a successful run. It started in 2017. I think this is a good move for them. They're leaving before
it gets
stale or ticket sales dip. And I think this leaves the door open for them to return in a couple of years if they choose. Mm-hmm. I think we'll see.
They'll probably go on tour. They've got a new song out.
Yeah.
They're probably going to put out an album.
It's kind of the Britney thing. You know, perform. Hers was a little longer than 2 years, I think. But perform for a while. Go on tour, make some money on the road internationally or whatever.
And then come back to Vegas and make some more money.
Yeah. So if they want to do this in between tours, which is still performing and making money, but not with the rigors of having to travel, probably not a bad idea. And I think we have already started to see more acts doing this, but I think these short, like 2-3 year stretches and then taking a break and maybe coming back. Celine took off some time. She did, you know, I don't know what it was, 8 years or something, and then left and came back. So
to save the city.
It's to say, and she did, she saved everything. So it's not unheard of. And,
what if you got free tickets to Celine?
Then you could enjoy them with someone else. No, I would maybe go if it was free. Quit pressuring me. Another performer who is returning to Las Vegas after a short run of shows in December of last year is Paul Schaefer. We discussed the show. We considered going to the show, and then we got to Vegas. And as usually happens, plans all fall apart, and we did not yet have tickets, so we ended up not going. He did a Christmas-themed show at Cleopatra's Barge at Caesar's Palace. His return will not be Christmas-themed. However, he will be doing 3 weekends in September, October, and November of next year for a total of 9 shows.
Is that just enough to qualify for a residency?
9 shows makes a residency.
Okay.
In my residency parlance here on 500, yes. So this does qualify. Tickets are available through Ticketmaster for $50 and up plus fees. And I think they went on sale today. So there you go. Paul Schaefer and the Schaefer Shifters, which is a group of local musicians from Vegas. It's not his world's most dangerous band, guys. There is and the December run of shows got pretty good reviews. And he had some surprise guests that popped in during some of the shows. So you never know who you're going to see. He knows everybody. So could be a fun time. There's a new restaurant opening at MGM Grand. It's So the restaurant Crush, which exists already at MGM Grand, has decided to convert a private dining space, a back room, into a new separate restaurant.
Like a restaurant within a restaurant?
It is, although you don't go through the restaurant to get to it. They're going to have their own kind of, not secret entrance, but the entrance sort of plays into the theme of the restaurant. It's going to be called Greek Sneak. It opens in mid-August, according to the Review Journal. Entrance to this restaurant will be from the casino floor, but then you go down a long, narrow hallway, and then you're in this secluded space, and you can't even see the casino or anything, so it doesn't really feel like you're in a typical Las Vegas restaurant.
Okay.
A little bit different. And it's a...
A tunnel?
I don't know that it's a tunnel. It's a hallway that's maybe a little more...
Is it longer than it is wide?
I think it would be, yes. Okay. Thus the term narrow. I suppose you could have a short, narrow hallway, but always have to turn everything into a sexual connotation, don't you?
Not always.
The restaurant is a Mediterranean, a Greek restaurant. There aren't a ton of Mediterranean restaurants on the Strip. And their main competition that I think of, there is more upscale. And they're saying, no, we're not going to necessarily compete with Milos at Cosmo and Clio at SLS, which who knows how long that'll be around with all the changes at SLS. Mm-hmm. They're going to go with a lower price point. So if you're looking for a Mediterranean food option without...
Which is delicious.
Which is. This might be a nice new option for you.
Yeah.
And it's from Morton's.
Ooh.
You know, so they do great work. They
know what they're doing.
Yeah. So the Morton, I don't know if they're called Morton Restaurant Group or what, but they have a bunch of restaurants and they do amazing things. So... that is going to be opening in mid-August. I would consider checking that out.
Can you pause the show? Because I need a beverage refill.
Refill time? All yes. Right, we will pause.
You're good.
You can refill, okay. And then we'll come back with our final news item and a few phone calls.
All right.
Have you refilled?
I have refilled.
What are you having?
I am having a concoction.
Is this something you invented, supposedly?
Well, I invented it, but somebody else probably invented it, too.
Uh-huh.
It is tequila,
uh-huh.
Saint Germain, and uh-huh. ginger beer.
And what do you call it?
I call it my little problem.
I like that name. All right, well, enjoy that.
I am.
Moving along.
I had some last night. I'm having some tonight.
We have one more news item to get to.
Okay.
The Hollywood Reporter.
You don't want me to talk more about my drink?
No, what do you have to say about it? People can't sip it, so, you know, you've... Giving them
a ratio of 2-1 tequila to Saint Germain, and all then right. fill the rest with ginger beer.
Noted.
I had a question on Facebook about it, so okay. I thought I would provide a public service.
There you go.
Also,
my little problem created yes. by Anita Martini. Mm-hmm. All right. Hollywood Reporter reports that Shaquille O'Neal, former basketball all-star and
current shill for everything,
product huckster, will open a restaurant in Las Vegas in mid-October called Big Chicken. It is specializing in fried chicken sandwiches. That sounds delicious.
That does sound delicious.
The restaurant opening will be the subject of a Facebook Watch reality show called Big Chicken as well.
Is this a thing? This
Facebook Watch?
Yeah.
Apparently.
Is this like where Major League Baseball only shows certain games?
I think
games
so. They're trying to do their own TV thing, and now they're going to do original programming. That
I'm not here for it.
I can't imagine that many people are going to watch this on Facebook.
Yeah.
I can see YouTube.
Here's the thing. I like Shaq. I think he's a personable guy. I just think he... advertises for too many products.
He's the Owen Wilson of athletes. Like, can't say no to any offer.
Yeah.
Will appear anywhere in anything, any script that appears before mm-hmm. him.
The general, say no more.
Yeah, he's shilling for shitty insurance companies mm-hmm. and for fucking Icy Hot or something. Is that what the...
Yeah, Icy Hot.
Icy Hot ball general. Patches.
Didn't he do Gold Bond, too, at one point?
I don't know.
He's
on a lot of commercials.
Yeah.
And now he's got a chicken TV show and restaurant.
I have a question.
What is your question?
Will he be promoting said restaurant through LinkedIn?
Probably not, since it's Facebook related.
I suppose. But you were just talking about athletes doing LinkedIn stuff to promote their other businesses.
Know. Who knows? KTNV is reporting that the location of this restaurant will be Harmon and Paradise across from the Hard Rock Hotel. So if you want to have a Shaquille O'Neal chicken sandwich starting in October at some point... You'll be able to do so. How exciting. Well, I wonder if he will. Well, obviously he's involved in this TV show, so he's going to be around Las Vegas a lot. So keep an eye out for Shaquille O'Neal, and I would imagine he'll be at the opening and all that stuff. Yippee. You can ask him about what it's like to do shitty commercials for a crappy insurance company.
Like I said, he's likable. I enjoy him. It's just, he's just made some
He needs to turn choices. Down something once in a while.
Yeah.
What if he is? Like, wouldn't you love to see the list of things he said no to?
Yes, I would like to see that list. I'm pretty sure it's short.
I'm waiting for the next Shaq Fu album.
Aren't we all? With the Fushnickens?
The Fushnickens. I forgot to mention, in addition to former basketball all-star and product huckster, rap superstar Shaquille O'Neal. All right, we've got some phone calls to get to from some of our beloved listeners. Let's start with Julie.
Hey, Tim. Hi, Michelle. This is Julie from Michigan.
Hey,
I'm here in Las Vegas this weekend. It's July 7th. On Saturday night, it was 108 degrees today in Vegas, and it's about 11:30, and my husband and I just got turned away at the door of the Cromwell for him having shorts on. Like, we couldn't go into the casino because he was wearing shorts. Now, it would have been fine had we not been gambling there, like, an hour earlier. We got up, took a walk, and we're on our way back to hit the craps table again and got turned away at the door. Unbelievable. I have never seen that before. Guys in yellow shirts, presumably security, said, sorry, the casino's enforcing a dress code tonight, and you can't come in with shorts. So we're really disappointed. I really like the vibe of the Cromwell, and that really just put a very, very, very sick taste in my mouth about it. Not sure we'll be back. Anyway, we're on our way back to Michigan tomorrow. Hope this helps some of your listeners, and we love you guys. Listen to you all the time ahead of trips. Have a great weekend, and we'll maybe call again sometime. Bye.
All right. Thanks, Julie.
Thanks for the report.
Sorry that happened to you.
I am too.
And I'm glad she called about this because she also reported it on Facebook and on our Facebook group. Mm-hmm. And the discussion. Now, naturally, when you hear that, you're like, that seems weird.
Yeah.
You know, and this was the reaction on Facebook. And I don't think it was that anybody was saying, Julie's off her rocker.
No.
I think it was more like something's odd about this.
Yeah.
And it doesn't. So first, everybody's like,
why would you turn away people?
Yeah. Are you sure that you weren't in the line for Dre's that maybe stretched outside? She's like, no, that definitely wasn't it. Mm-hmm. They said it was for the whole casino unless you were staying at the hotel. And so anyway, one of the guys on our Facebook group, Don, called security at the Cromwell.
Nice.
I know. I love this. We got our own investigative team. Don called up security the next day and said, hey, was there something going on last night? And they said, we had a special event in the casino, and this dress code exists all the time, but we rarely enforce it. And as a result of the special event, we were enforcing it last night, and that was the deal. So, okay, that's their prerogative to do that. But the fact that they didn't...
Like they didn't have signs on the doors or anything.
Right.
Signs outside.
Yeah, you would think at that point they would have, if they were doing things wisely in a way that communicated things clearly to their
customers.
Then signs would have been posted, not necessarily when Julie and her husband came back and were turned away. It sounds like there weren't any signs there. There were just security there saying no and not necessarily giving a full explanation. But earlier in the day, you would think they would say, hey, after X time, we're going to be enforcing this dress code. That way there's a little bit of warning.
So you have to wear some goddamn pants.
As well as on Facebook, they have a Facebook page. You can update things with news, Facebook and Twitter.
Uh-huh. You could have spread the word there.
Not only that, but when this happened,
You tweeted at them.
I tweeted at the Cromwell. And actually, I know that Julie's husband had tweeted right away going, what's on? And I don't know what's going on. And I don't know if they responded. I don't think they did right away. I suspect that they have business hours for their social media, which doesn't really work in the casino industry. But anyway, the Cromwell did respond to mine saying, nope, we don't turn away people for shorts. At the club we do, but not in the casino. And then I screenshotted Don's explanation where he talked to security and I said, are you sure about this? Radio silence ever since. And a couple other listeners have responded to the Cromwell as well, the Cromwell and my initial post saying, are you going to address this or just leave it hanging? And nothing.
Nothing? Oh, that's bad.
Yeah. So nice job on the social media there, Caesars Entertainment. I just like, what's the fucking problem with saying, you know what? Sorry. I didn't know that. We found out that, we had that happen. We probably should have handled it differently, but.
Yep. And it was a one night event, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually it's not a problem, but this one time it was. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the left hand and right hand don't know what each other are doing, which is common at
what was the event, you know?
I don't know. There are different theories on that, but
somebody who loves pants.
Yeah, I know. Some pant loving motherfucker was with a lot of money was hanging out there, I guess. I disapprove.
I also disapprove.
So anyway, Yes, that did happen, and bummer that it did, and they handled it poorly in numerous ways, not only on the day of the event, but then not acknowledging it afterwards and saying, oh yeah, we should probably learn from this and maybe handle it differently. So,
yeah. This has been kinda social media watch.
You know what, and it's not only social media, but as I was started to say, and this is not anything new, but especially in the larger companies in Las Vegas, the Caesars and MGMs, and the larger the property, the less the employees seem to be informed about things outside of their immediate purview.
Yeah. Ooh, purview.
For example, half the time when you go to, if you have a reason where you need to go to the players club desk and ask a question about a promotion or something, they rarely know what the fuck's going on.
Yep.
A lot of times.
And it's not their fault.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Well, it's not the employee's fault.
Well, it's the
company's fault.
It's the management's not fault for not communicating it well.
Yes.
Yes, that is correct. But that happens all the time. They know how to give you a new card, and they know, you know, what they need to know, transactional stuff, but anything beyond that. Is there anything more infuriating than dealing with the players' club desks in Las Vegas?
Well, yes,
there are things that are more infuriating. But
moseyers.
I know, but that's like the moseying of... Whenever you have anything, like if you need to have, let's say you have put X number of points on your card and you, as a result, you get something for free. Do we really need 700 keystrokes and 6 signed forms in order to carry out this task?
And is that the Players Club's fault or is that the casino's fault for putting all this infrastructure in place?
They have great inefficiencies at many Players Clubs. Now we've gotten into a whole different topic, but... I'm sorry, Julie, that you guys were refused entry. That's bullshit.
Yes. Also, fuck pants.
Fuck pants. All right, moving on.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. It's Jason from Sonoma, California.
Hello, Jason.
Hey. My radio show.
Oh, yes.
A couple years ago, wrote the book. I wouldn't. And anyway, I've been at Atomic Liquor downtown Las Vegas after flying here on a private effing jet.
Oh,
I think it's a fucking jet, and I guess this is not real radio. I mean, it's real broadcast. Anyway, I thought they had a couple of drinks, and I just like to give you guys a call. I crossed the street to the Llama Stay for Free sign at the Ambassador Hotel, and it is really, really hot.
Hot in Las Vegas in the summer? What? So yeah, Jason posted on the Facebook group as well. He had a last minute deal that came up using, Jet? Is it called Jet Suite? There's a service that has unfilled private jet seats available at a great discount. And he was flying from California and decided, you know what? I've always wanted to do this. We actually looked into this for a trip that didn't occur last year from San Francisco to Las Vegas. And we're planning on giving this a shot. It didn't. Mm-hmm. So very cool that he was able to make that happen, though.
Yeah.
At some point, that would be kind of a dream.
Mm-hmm.
You had the thing where you wanted to stay in a suite that had stairs, which we fulfilled during our anniversary trip.
We have.
I'm thinking the private jet to Las Vegas would be amazing. Now, I think for us to make that happen, we're going to have to be flying from somewhere closer.
From California.
Yeah, exactly. Because if we did it from here, I suspect it would be way out of our price range.
Yes.
And then out of California using one of these services, we could probably make it happen. But that's really cool that he was able to do that. So nicely done, Jason. Glad you had a good time. Next up.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. It's Ruth from Denton, Texas. And
hey, Ruth.
I've been working on an actual... I'm trying to sound like, you know, those characters in Las Vegas. So just coming up with, you know, the way you could sound like, you know, all of the cool guys there. So impressions, you might say. So here's my impression for you. Walk sign is on to cross Fremont. Walk sign is on to cross Fremont.
I give it a B minus. I like the effort.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the actual impression was very good.
He needed to be more robotic?
A little bit.
I'd rather hear Bruce's voice.
He sounded more personable than the than the robot.
I was thinking I'd rather hear Rue's voice telling me to cross Fremont than the current one.
They can hire him to do voiceovers for their signs at Fremont and 6th by El Cortez.
Do you want to share with the class?
Oh, yeah. So, as I've mentioned before, when I get voicemail messages through the voicemail line, I will get an email, which sometimes I pay attention to and sometimes I don't, that has a transcription of the call. And it's rarely
anything close.
And this one, and I sent a screenshot of it to Rue because I was so entertained by it. I get up in the morning and I check email, and there's Google Voice telling me I had a voicemail message. And it says in the transcript, "Hi, Tim. I'm Michelle. This is Lube from Denton, Texas." So from now on, I think Rue's new nickname is Lube.
We've got a pinata massengill. We've got a lube. Okay.
I guess so. Anyway, thanks for that call. Keep working on the impression. I appreciate it that you're, I get what you're trying to do. Not quite there yet, but I think you'll get there. You need to deaden your voice a little bit, make it a little bit more monotone. I think you'll get it down. All right. Next up.
Hi, Tim and Michelle. This is Bob from Portland, Oregon. And I usually don't call in when I do trips, but this last trip, we did something that I bet a lot of listeners are interested in. And I organized a kind of a family reunion in Las Vegas and bought a bunch of hotel rooms and arranged dinner and such and invited everybody in our family from far away. And most of them did show up, and we had a group of 20. I just want to let you know that I followed Michelle's advice, and it's very, very good advice. I only scheduled one big group thing. That was a big dinner, and then an optional, which was the cabanas at the Lazy River at MGM. Really awesome. And it worked perfectly because nobody felt rushed or obligated to go from here to there or watch shows they weren't interested in. It worked great. Other thing you need to know is we actually ate outside on the balcony of Picasso overlooking the fountains. Our dinner started at 8 o'clock just as the sun was set, and it really wasn't that hot. It was pretty comfortable. The other interesting thing, the music wasn't super loud, which I was worried about because we were right up against the building. This was a beautiful trip. Anyway, thanks for your podcast. Been a listener for a long, long time. And love you both. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Thank Bob. You. We appreciate that. Someone got some good advice from you.
Yay.
That's lovely.
Hooray.
Yeah. You know what? When you're planning a big trip, it bears repeating. If you're planning a trip with a lot of people, don't try to keep everybody together all the time. Take it from Bob. He had good luck with that method as well of planning a couple events for everybody and then letting everyone scatter and go their separate ways and have their own fun.
And I'm glad the group was okay with that. Some groups want a lot of togetherness.
Yeah,
but
it's
maybe
hard.
If you are up front and you're like, hey,
Let's do it this way.
Yeah.
We're going to hang out, but we're also going to have some time on our own to do the things we like to do.
I think that's great, and I'm so glad it worked out.
Yay. All right, final call.
Tim and Michelle, it's Tim and Chris from the 515, first call. Been listening for about 18 months. Just wanted to hit up you and talk about opium for a couple seconds. For, you know, you talked about last week, Spiegelland and all of that. The Spiegel world and all that with absinthe. But probably the quick way to describe it is, if you're easily offended, don't bother. If nothing shocks you, absolutely it's worth the money. It's 90 minutes of just laughs and shocks and a lot of fun. There's less acrobatics than you'd see in absinthe if you've seen absinthe. There's still a few acts, and some acts kind of get transferred back and forth because one person in the show we saw this evening has been in both. And it's more comedy. Like I said, there's a lot of shock value to it, Nothing shocks you, absolutely. You'll laugh for 90 minutes. It's a lot of fun. There's one scene they probably could get rid of because they're not very good at it, but there's still shock value in that, too. So maybe give you a call back for the rest of the week, but I wanted to let you know that. So I'll talk to you later. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for your review. We appreciate that. We've been getting a bunch of reviews on opium, and we've had some positive, some eh. So we got a positive there from Tim.
Glad you enjoyed it.
Appreciate that. Glad you had a good time.
And I think the same goes for absinthe, where if you're easily offended, maybe don't go.
Very much so.
I think that's
it's a Spiegel World thing.
Yep.
All right. Thanks so much to all the callers. We do appreciate it. It's nice to have you share your thoughts with us. And we welcome other calls with reviews and observations from your Las Vegas trips at 702-866-9494. All right, before we go, we've got some Karma donations to thank people for, including Kimberly with a Karma donation. Thank you. Steve with a Karma donation for a trip July 12th through the 16th.
Hope you are having a good time.
Is that happening now? It is.
Yes,
it's the 14th today. Have a wonderful time and good luck. Matthew, Karma donation for a quick stop in Vegas on our way to Minnesota. My advice?
Stay in Vegas.
Stay in Vegas. There's nothing going on here. I was going to say it's too hot, but they're in Vegas, so you can't really say that. But
no.
It's too humid here right now. So I would recommend a nice dry, although it is the, we had a whole educational session about it being the monsoon season in Las Vegas.
Why are you talking about the weather?
Because the monsoon thing confused a lot of people. Oh. It was high comedy watching some of the Las Vegas locals try to explain to some of us dumb tourists what monsoon season is. And I appreciate their efforts in doing so. Jim and Mary with a Karma donation for a trip to Atlantic City and two nights at Borgata and then two nights at the new Hard Rock. Wow, they're going to be seeing some cool stuff.
Enjoy.
It's a warm-up for their August Vegas trip.
Yay.
Hope you have a wonderful time, and thank you as always. You guys are awesome. Vince, hoping for his first Royal, maybe, please. Come on, just one, pretty please.
I hope so.
Oh, you can do it, Vince. We have faith in you. You're going to hit it this time. Good luck. Robin, thank you, says, thanks for your last trip reviews. Oh, we love doing that. It's so much fun when we get back from a trip. And we get
then you just get to relive it.
Relive all that shit for
it
you guys.
It just makes the trip last longer.
It does. He said his wife and he greatly appreciate the new adventures we lead them on.
Yay.
Awesome. Glad that people find usefulness in our experiences. Dan from Minneapolis heading to the Dirty Bird July 19th for a buddy's birthday. Ready for some good sessions of video poker at Bugsy's Bar. Well, good luck to you, Dan.
Yes, good luck and thank you. We were just talking about Bugsy's Bar and the time we saw a cockroach there.
That's right. That was a long time ago.
Yep. 12 years ago.
I suspect maybe the cockroach. I don't know. Cockroaches live a long time. It might still be around.
It could be.
Keep an eye out on your bar top. If you see something crawl across the screen, let the bartender know. He'll take care of it by flipping it onto the floor with his finger.
Pretty much.
All right. Good luck. To you. And finally, Rob, who's leaving for Vegas on Thursday, July 19th for a 4-night annual wedding anniversary trip, said he could use all the good karma he can get. Loves the podcast and looks forward to it every week. Well, thank you very much, Rob.
Yes.
Have a great time.
Yes.
Kick some ass. Hope you all have wonderful, wonderful trips. All right. We have such wonderful, generous listeners. We appreciate all your support of this nutty podcast we do week after week after week after week. I say that like it's cumbersome. It's not. It's actually really great fun. What else? Anything else before we go?
I don't think so.
All right.
You?
We've covered a lot of territory today.
We have.
We will continue to do so in future weeks.
All right.
500bymidnight.com is the website address. That's what that is.
That's what 500, that is.
500@gmail.com is the place where you can send Dear Tim and Michelle questions. You can find us on Twitter. I'm 500. She is Anita Martini. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, our voicemail line, 702-866-9494. As always, thank you for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it, and we will be back very soon with another show.
Bye-bye.
Bye.